Morning Talk Radio. Good morning from Las Vegas, Nevada. This is Sabrina Williams with the Saturday Social. Our good friend Volante is out of town, but we are going to go on with the Saturday Social and talk about the joy of Easter, food and family, what traditions you have, and how you can get through the little holiday, because holidays can be stressful for people. We are going to introduce the show, and then we will start.
Welcome to Conversations with the Diva. Never give up, never give in, always look up, God has a plan. Jeremiah 29 and 11. Now, here's your host, Sabrina Williams.
So, Easter. What is Easter about? What does Easter mean to us? Easter is actually when Jesus got on the cross to die for our sins and to save us from ourselves. That's really what Easter is. All the food, the ham, the turkey, potato salad, shrimp enchiladas, all that stuff, whatever dish tradition, whether it's African, Hispanic, we all have something to bring to the table as far as food. But there's only one person in history, and that's Jesus Christ, who brought to the table the ability to save us from our sins. So that's what Easter is about. We need to remember that because we're all sinners. We've all fallen from grace and glory, but we're all saved through Jesus. So how does that play into the fact of who we are? We are children of God. Whether you believe in God or you don't believe in God or you believe in a higher power, everybody has something that they believe in, and nobody's here judging anybody. But we need to understand that when Jesus got on the cross for us, he got on the cross for a reason, to save us so that we could have eternal life with our Father in heaven. So today, let's talk about Easter and family. It's just like any other holiday where people get together. Excuse me, I'm eating a muffin, where people get together and they have to get along. So how do you get along on Easter when you're with family, even on Sunday, when they may be driving you up the wall? Well, first of all, you have to remember love, kindness, and compassion. I'm going to read you a couple of Easter quotes that I found, and we will give acknowledgement to the people that created them, but I think this is funny because we need to remember. Here's one by Mahatma Gandhi. A man who was completely innocent offered himself as a sacrifice for the good of others, including his enemies, and became the ransom of the world. It was a perfect act. So I think on Easter that one day we can be tolerant of other people. Here's another one by Gianni De Giovanni. Easter is meant to be a symbol of hope, renewal, and new life. So as you go tomorrow, because it's the beginning of a new week, you need to hope and know that Jesus is your Savior. Renewal for your new life starts with just, you know what, I'm going to start this week over, and everything's going to be good. Each week is given a new week. New life, what do you need to do different to help yourself? Outside of the cross of Jesus Christ, there is no hope in the world. The cross, the resurrection at the core of the gospel is the only hope for humanity. Wherever you go, ask God for wisdom on how to get the gospel in, even in the toughest situations of life. Rabbi Zacharias, R-A-V-I-Z-A-C-H-A-R-I-S, was his quote. Dwight L. Moody said, "We are told to let our light shine. If it does, we won't need to tell anybody it does. Lighthouses don't fire cannons to call attention to their shining. They just shine." That's an excellent quote. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to do three things. He came to have my past forgiven, to get a purpose for living in a home in heaven. Rick Warren. There would be no Christmas if there was no Easter. Gordon B. Hinckley. There's only one secure foundation, a genuine, deep relationship with Jesus Christ, which will carry you through any and all turmoil. No matter what storms are raging all around you, you stand firm if you stand on his love. Charles Stanley. Easter is a movable moment, calculated by the relevant positions of sun and moon, an impossible way of fixing year by year the anniversary of a historical event, but a very natural, indeed inevitable, way of calculating a solar festival. These changing dates do not point to the history of man, but the hero of a solar myth, Annie Besant. The symbolic language of the crucifixion is the death of the old paradigm. Resurrection is a leap into a whole new way of thinking. Deepak Chopra, Chopra is his quote. A rule I have had for years is to treat the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal friend. He is not a creed, a mere doctrine, but he in himself we have, Dwight L. Moody. And that brings us back to everybody should have a personal relationship with God. I can't tell you about your relationship with God. You're choosing to have a different higher power. Are you just choosing to live your life as a good person? We all have a personal deep relationship. You have to live your faith how you want, but understand that we don't judge other people. That is God's job. Our job is to love everybody on earth and treat everybody as equals, to love them as they are. Yeah, we have to bring attention to things that people may not be doing that is not right, but we can do that in love. We also need to remember that everybody here on earth is loved by God no matter who they are. We need to treat people with respect. You know, it's interesting because this week I've been really, really looking and evaluating people in my life. One of the things I found out is that when you have people have respect for you, they'll either have respect for you or they'll get angry with you because you're making them have respect and they don't want to be a part of you. And that's okay. Because you know what? God was never mean to one of his disciples or the people around him, and he gave everybody respect. Even the woman at the well, the woman who was had thrown stone at her, God gave them respect. And that's important that I mention that for women, because sometimes we think that because we're compared to men or other people that we're second best. No, we're just as equal to everybody, and we all need to be respectful of each other. You know, I had the opportunity and blessing of being able to go to the Stellar Awards and ASCAP breakfast March 28, 2015. It was a life-changing event. I learned so much. I learned, one, that God loves me. Truly, the music was divine. Also, that we make our own destiny. What was chosen for me as a hobby has now turned into a life-changing revolution for me that has just changed my self-esteem, improved it, made me a better person in Christ, and put some great individuals in my life. I'm so grateful for WBDN Media Web by Design that gives me the opportunity to have to be on the Saturday Social, to give me my own show on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. and Thursday mornings at 7:30 p.m. called Conversations with the Diva. This network by Volante Grant is going places. It is an amazing network with Farrell and our other people who work for us. We are amazing people, and I am so glad to be a part of the team. Here's an interview I did with the Bishop. She is out of Detroit. It was just a life-changing thing for me because she was able to look at my son and pray for him and call out in the name of Jesus things that she saw that were true. So listen to this interview that I did last Saturday after the ASCAP Breakfast Award. Very interesting interview. Thank you again for tuning in to WBDM Media, Saturday Social with Sabrina Williams and Volante Grant. Volante will be back with us next week, but here we go.
Okay. I'm originally from California. Okay, I've been here for 8 years. I'm with the Foster Department of Services Foster Care.
Okay.
I'm 50, and I've been doing foster care work for 50 years. That's my main job. I started doing this as a hobby, but now I write for TV magazines and WBDM Media Web by Design.
Okay.
So tell us who you are. And tell us, you look beautiful, by the way. Your hair is beautiful. What are you here for tonight?
Well, first of all, I'm Bishop Carletta Vaughn from Detroit.
Yes.
Yay. Preachers of Detroit. And I'm here for the selling, for the red carpet, and for the event tonight. And to see my friends and to support the sellers and the gospel artists and producers from around the world.
Right.
And I'm here representing Preachers of Detroit, the franchise.
Tell us about it.
Preachers of L.A. Well, Preachers of L.A., Preachers of Detroit, tremendous opportunity in reality television for Christians to infiltrate the secular media world. And so a couple of years ago, we had Preachers of L.A., and that's the L. Palmer Production Company, and they had a phenomenal run on hostages, and I just thought it was so good that they offered us to do another city, which is the Preachers of Detroit, and coming soon, our other city. And so Preachers of Detroit is really creating
creatures of love. They get really need creatures of
love. Praise the Lord. Well, I put a word in for you.
We're doing, we need a lot of prayer up here.
Yep. And so, now, obviously, you're bishop of the church.
I am.
And what is your church? Our cathedral church, which is the home base of the network of churches, is Holy Ghost Cathedral in Detroit. And we oversee about 1,600 churches around the world, and about 100 of them in the United States of America, India, Africa, Australia, the UK, various places that God has allowed me to go and to preach and plant churches. And our home church base is Detroit, Michigan.
And I have to say, I know it's very hard being a pastor, a leader at the church, everybody is and you sometimes don't get your alone time. How do you find time for yourself when you're feeding everybody else the word and trying to take care of their needs? How do you take time for yourself?
I have a Sabbath day every Sunday, every week.
Okay.
Every week is 2 weeks.
Okay.
And that's my Sabbath.
Okay.
And I started that about 2 weeks ago. And sometimes I stay in pajamas all day. Sometimes I read. Sometimes I go out. But I have done that now for probably the last 20-plus years because I believe that if my body is not strong, then I can't stand the earth. The only reason to stand the earth is I take care of my body. I eat well. I eat healthy. There are things I don't eat. The things that don't allow me in my body. And currently, right now, looking at 62 years old soon, I have no medical shop, no nothing.
You're going to be 62?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, well, I'm going to need you to produce your driver's license. I'm going to need you to tell the story about it.
I'm
yeah, all liars going to the lake. Okay, I'm going to do something with you. That's all I'm going to see. And if you need to stop. Would you look wonderful?
Thank you.
Another question is, I've been around, you know, like I think I'm so old, but I've seen our, it seems like the Bible is getting by the wayside. How do you keep people in mind? What can we say to people that are listening to this? Why is it so important to be grounded in the Word of God?
You know, the Bible says in the last day, it will be the Spirit that will come with doctrine and Jesus. And if you don't know really the essence of the Word of God, it's easy to be seduced in the power. Because there's so much that's coming that sounds like God, acts like God, looks like God, smells like God. And we have to be aware of the Word of God, and not just the Word of God, the book, but the Word of God, Jesus. Jesus is the Word, and not that book. And so the book is supposed to introduce you to the Word himself. People need a relationship with Jesus Christ. People don't need a relationship with the Bible. People need a relationship with the God of the Bible. And that's our problem. People want to take the book over the person. And we have to reintroduce who is Jesus, who is the Holy Ghost, and that the Holy Ghost and the Lord Jesus Christ, that they are alive and well, and that they want a relationship and not a religion. So people say, oh, I know the Bible, but do you know Jesus?
And you know what? It's also something that's really important. Jesus is not a religion. No. It's a relationship with each individual person.
Absolutely.
And absolutely. People get mixed up because they want to separate Jesus, not say, well, and the honor that he's Jesus. He's also God and the Father.
He is God.
Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, he's God. So here we are now in a day and time where religion has replaced relationship. You see, and so we have so many doctrines. What's right? What's wrong? Listen, the historical Jesus of the Bible was not religious. He was not a Christian. He was not a Pentecostal. He was not a Methodist. He was not a Jew. He was not any of that. He was God. And until you know him, get rid of all this religious foolishness. What to wear, what you can't do, what you can't go. And get to know him personally. And let him give you the boundary for your life. It's personal.
God may allow you to do some things he may tell me I can't do.
Right.
And we shouldn't condemn each other. So we abuse the Bible to beat people up.
Use the Bible to keep people in bondage. So what we have to do now is reintroduce the vibrancy and the vitality of a personal relationship with Jesus and his Holy Spirit.
Amazing. You gave me church today.
Amen.
I know. I mean, really, it's refreshing.
Amen.
Refreshing to hear that, you know, even coming from a bishop and a leader of the church, so many churches to tell people that. And anything that my little kids get from it is that, you know, you don't have your own personal relationship with God when you're going down the road.
The Bible won't even help you.
Yes. Thank you.
You
so
need
much.
Jesus.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, baby. Can I have a picture with you?
Yes. Yeah. Oh,
And that was the bishop. She gave a wonderful word of our relationship with God. It's a personal relationship. It's not about a religion. It's not about anything else. It's a personal relationship with God. And that personal relationship also vibrates into the world and how we treat others. And we need to remember that love. I'm really big on love because lately I've seen a lot of hateful things in the media about people being gay and saying this or that. It's not right. That's not what God would do. God shows love. We need to love our neighbors as ourselves. The Bible, this is taken from scripture quotes at www.whatchristianwantstoknow.com/Bible-verses-about-love. Scripture quotes by Josh Wiley. The Bible is full of great verses and passages about the topic of love. God's love for us is a perfect example and starting place to study on love. There's also great verses about love and relationships, to marriage, brotherly love, or friendship, and love in our neighbor. Here's a collection of some of the greatest love quotes from the Bible. What is your favorite Bible verse, listeners? And don't hesitate to share it with Conversations with the Diva. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 is probably one of my best Bible verses I love. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. Period. In addition, I just want to remind you guys that you need to love your friends, your family, as they are. Accept them in each of their ways because they are put there for a reason. They may get on your nerves. Another great Bible verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now we're going to talk about friendship. What is friendship? Friendship is having a friend that you can tell anything and they won't judge you. You can get mad, they can get mad, and you still can come back to the table. Do you have a friend like that? I'm evaluating my friends, and I'm starting to see the friends that I do have like that and the ones that I don't, and I'm going toward more the friends that are there at all the time. This is, again, what the Bible verse about friendship, 20 scripture quotes by Josh Wiley. You can find his information and his articles at www.whatchristianwantstoknow.com. And he says that he talks about Jesus on friendship. And here's one of the verses he put down, John 15:12-15. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants. The servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all I know that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Greatest friend is God. James 4:8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded people. How to pick friends. Proverbs 12:26. One who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the one of the wicked leads him astray. Proverbs 13, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companions of fools will suffer harm. And that's important to have friends that have wisdom. You know, sometimes we take those friends for granted, but those are the friends that keep us out of trouble and guide us down the right path. This is also one that I love, Proverbs 22:24-25. Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. remember how to treat your friends. Luke 6:31. This is for the world. We need to treat everybody the same, no matter whether we don't like their lifestyle or, you know, and you know what? It's not even about a lifestyle. It's about we need to love people, period. No exceptions. Everybody is equal. Love them as they are. Luke 6:31. As you wish that others would do to you, do to so to them. Again, let me say that. As you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. Romans 12:10. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. And that's important. You can never show enough love to someone. Romans 12:10. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Ephesians 4:29. And we're going to end in a few minutes after we talk about this verse. Letting no corrupt talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who fear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away with you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. And that's the Conversations with the Diva. I thank you guys for tuning in. It's been a great Saturday morning. With your food, comfort food, macaroni and cheese, mashed potatoes and gravy, ham, they're all given to you by God. God is your comfort. That's the joy of Easter food. The food is Jesus. The food, the extra earthly food is just around. Remember, you're loved, you're wanted, you are here for a reason. Thank you for tuning in to Conversations with the Diva. This is Sabrina Williams signing off. Lamonte Grant will be back next week. This is the Saturday Social. And we love you guys. Thank you.